Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Time to get you dialed into the biggest stories of the day. This is the Daily 10 with Matt Churlock.
All right, here we go, guys. It's time to get to the Wednesday edition of the Daily 10, the only Atlanta podcast where we talk about all the stuff that you guys care about the most. And I know what you're caring about the most today. Pain. The pain of a Braves loss last night. 6-5 to the Dodgers in game 3 of the National League Championship Series. There's no other way to say that. That was just incredibly painful. I saw the name Jim Leyritz making its way in my mentions, and Juan Uribe making his way into my mentions, as well as flashbacks from a Braves-Dodgers series in the playoffs several years ago. There are a couple of ways you can look at this, right? The Braves still have a 2-1 series lead, right? They're in good shape. It's just one loss. Those are all the things you're supposed to say. And that's true. But that loss felt a lot more like more than just one loss. I mean, that just, think how much the series shifts now. The Braves were 5 outs away from a complete stranglehold on the championship series. The Dodgers were dead in the water. They had no offense to speak of. Braves had knocked Walker Buehler out in the 4th. The Dodgers used 9 pitchers again. The Dave Roberts, you know, walk to the mound. I mean, there should be no turf left, no grass left at Dodger Stadium from the dugout to the mound. The Dodgers were staring down the barrel at an 0-3 series. I mean, it was all there for you with a broken, tired staff. Now instead, I'm sure they feel like they have a lot of life in the series after they won that game. And tonight, the Braves are going to have to get a bunch of outs from some combination of Drew Smyly, Waskar Ynoa, and maybe Jesse Chavez in a bullpen game. It's not a great recipe against a Dodger lineup that looks like it finally woke up. Here's a not-so-fun fact. The Dodgers entered the day yesterday 0-81 when trailing by 3 or more runs in the 8th inning or later in their postseason history. Again, no wins, 81 losses when trailing by 3 or more in the 8th inning or later of a postseason game. And now they got one. The Braves have now lost 10 in a row at Dodger Stadium, 13-14, and 21 of their last 25 games there. So, I mean, it's been a house of horrors. There's no other way around it. Think about what the Braves overcame to get themselves in position to win that game. Charlie Morton had an awful first inning where he looked like he wasn't going to survive it. He ended up getting out of the inning with 33 pitches. He walked 4 in the inning, gave up the 2-run home run. But at the end of it, it was just 2-0. And he ended up settling in, going 5 innings, just giving up 3 hits, the 2 runs, and the strangest part of his line, 6 walks for Charlie Morton. Now, he did, as I said, give the Braves 5 innings, which felt big at the time and might be big moving forward because you didn't have to eat up more chunks of the bullpen heading into a bullpen game in game 4. The Braves got enough offense. Freddie Freeman woke up. He was 3-for-4. Jock Peterson, Adam Duvall, Dansby all had 2 hits. The Braves had 12 hits in the game, 6 walks, but they only had 1 extra base hit, and that was on the Lux drop on Riley's ball in center field that was generously scored a double for Austin Riley. There were a few opportunities once the Braves grabbed the lead. They had the 4-run inning in the 4th, which was great, and they added on in the 5th to make it 5-2. But it felt like they were so close to just really putting the game out of reach. Ozzie Albies had 2 great opportunities, 1 in the 6th inning and 1 again in the 8th inning with 2 guys on and 2 outs, but he left the runners there. So you still felt fine, though. 5-2. A.J. Minter was fantastic. Tyler Matzek once again was lights out. And this will sound weird. After what we witnessed in the 8th, I don't think Luke Jackson pitched poorly. He made a good pitch to Will Smith, who poked it down the right field line. The A.J. Pollock single was a hit if, you know, just based on the shift, essentially. I mean, if Dansby is, you know, normally positioned, and I'm not picking on the shift. The Braves have done very well shifting. In that case, it got them. So that wasn't even a bad pitch. And then the home run ball to Cody Bellinger was 96 miles an hour up in the eyes. Like, I don't know how Cody Bellinger got it. I don't know how he tomahawked it out, but you give him credit. He did. Here's where I will nitpick. So it's 5-5 now. I don't know that I want Jesse Chavez right there in a 5-5 game, especially when Mookie Betts is coming up. But it's not like the Braves had many great options either. I mean, you want to say Chris Martin or Jacob Webb? You can, but it's not like those guys instill a bunch of confidence in you. So Betts gets the base hit. And again, that was an unfair fight. Betts in that spot against Chavez, and he came through. 6-5 Dodgers, and then Kenley Jansen just shut it down in the ninth. So it's a gut punch. There's just no other way to say it. So now it's on to game four, where the Braves will go with a bullpen game, and that could mean Waskari Noah gets the start as an opener, or Drew Smyly, or Chavez, or AJ Minter. We'll wait and see. Julio Urias will get the ball for the Dodgers. He pitched just 2 days ago in relief, so we'll see how that affects him for the 8:08 first pitch this evening. If you want to go out and watch this game somewhere and you want to sit around a bunch of Braves fans enjoying it, I would tell you to go to the Daily Draft. It's in downtown Woodstock on Main Street. What you'll see is the ultimate sports bar experience. It's not that deep-fried sports bar experience we're all so used to. This is a chef-inspired menu. Great salads, sandwiches, flatbreads, wings, burgers. You name it, they've got something for everybody. They've got a walk-up window before you even walk through the doors at the Daily Draft to order your favorite drinks. And then when you walk through the doors, you've got views on all the flat screens all around the joint. One of the biggest screens in all of Atlanta. Not to mention a craft beer bar, self-serve taps. You're going to love everything the Daily Draft has to offer. When you mention my podcast, The Daily 10, they're going to take 10% off your lunch order. So for doing nothing more than mentioning promo code THEDAILY10, they'll take 10% off your lunch order at The Daily Draft. I did see one note yesterday that maybe the timing of me mentioning it now is just not going to make you feel better. Yesterday was the first time the Braves were listed as the favorite to win the World Series before Game 3 was played, according to betonline.ag. The Braves were the favorite at plus 210, Boston plus 250, Dodgers plus 260, and the Astros plus 350. I have not looked this morning to see if those odds have changed. So I know after a loss like that, we all want to play the blame game, but I'm just not there on this one. I'm not mad at Snit. I think he managed it well. I'm not mad at Luke. I don't think he made awful pitches. I'm not mad at anyone in particular. I'm just kind of upset that it happened. Disgusted that that game. Sick that that happened to us again. We're all tired of losing that game. For the Braves, that was the jugular game. That was the backbreaker in the series. That series is over if the Braves get five more outs. Again, the Dodgers were dead in the water. Dave Roberts postgame said as much. They had nothing happening. And then, boom, it went away in an instant. I thought Snit managed it very well. I had no issue with his decision to leave Charlie in the game instead of pinch hitting for him in the fourth inning. You wanted to get some length out of him knowing you had a bullpen game coming in game four. I thought it was also the right decision to pull Charlie after five innings. So many stressful pitches in that game, especially early. I had no issue with Minter, Matzik, Luke, the way he used them. There was some thought that you stay with Matzik for another inning. Maybe, but then he's not available today. You want to have him because he's your best reliever right now, available in this game. And it's also worth pointing out he was coming up second in the eighth inning. So, again, no issue with that. If you do want to change the order up moving forward, maybe you go with Luke before Matzik. So if Luke does get in some trouble, you feel like you've got a safety net in Matzik to come in with runners on base and get out of it. I don't know. Maybe that's the opportunity. I don't think Matzik and Luke, they, you know, look at the lineup and say lefty righty so much because those guys are so good against both righties and lefties that maybe you can play it that way. So it's just the pain of that loss, that pain that we've felt so many times after losing a game like that in the postseason in excruciating fashion. Let's be very clear and honest about this. When AJ Pollock hits the single pass Dansby and Bellinger's coming up, we were all thinking it, right? You were trying not to, but you were all thinking this could happen, and it did. And again, the frustrating part of all of it is the Braves survived so much in that game. The awful first by Morton. They overcome another bad base running mistake in the first inning by Eddie Rosario. The Braves get three hits from Freddie Freeman, two from Jock and Duvall and Dansby. They get two really big breaks in the fourth inning when Gavin Lux drops the Riley ball. The non-strike three call to Jock Peterson, and they took advantage of those things. They were in perfect position with the bullpen set up, and it just didn't happen. It's frustrating as all get out, so now you've got to look ahead to tonight. If you want to use some positive thinking here, it was a year ago in this spot where the now famous Bryce game. Bryce Wilson, who none of us saw coming, pitched his tail off against Clayton Kershaw when the Braves took a 3-1 series lead against the Dodgers. This version of it might have a Drew Smyly attached to it or a Waskari Noah, and I will be very honest, neither gives me much confidence against the Dodger lineup. It's terrifying to think that those two guys, whether they start the game or just come in early, they might have to combine for 12 to 15 outs just to bridge the gap to get to the back end of the pen. And I assume Matzik and Luke are available again, but they pitched in every game in the series, so I don't know. We'll see how Snit wants to handle it. The other side of the coin, there's a chance that Julio Urias only goes three or four innings because he pitched the other night, and Dave Roberts is, you know, pitching change happy, so we'll see how deep they have to go into their pen again tonight. I have no clue what happens tonight. I mean, the Braves could get boat raced tonight with these, you know, bullpen arms just not performing, or it could be an 11-10 type of a game with both sides trying to find answers. There are some guys who didn't pitch yesterday that should be good to go. Chris Martin and Jacob Webb, Will Smith in the back end. I'll give the Braves credit on one thing. They have bounced back all year from either disappointing losses or the disappointing injury or whatever it is. They have always bounced back. You'd love to be the situation where it bounces back and happens tonight because you get Max Fried waiting in game five. But the momentum changed very quickly, and the Dodgers have to feel like they dodged an enormous bullet by pulling themselves out of that three-run hole and winning that game with that four-run eighth inning. So we'll see what happens tonight in game number four. Again, 8:08 first pitch, Urias for the Dodgers, bullpen game for the Braves. If you guys would, go ahead and hit the subscribe button for me or follow this podcast wherever it is you get your favorite pods. We're available on all the platforms from Apple to Spotify to Google to you name it. We're there for you. So search it up and find it, The Daily 10, wherever it is you get your favorite pods. I'll be on the radio this afternoon in Atlanta on 680 The Fan. We're back again here tomorrow for the next edition of The Daily 10.
Subscribe to The Daily 10 now and get the latest breaking news and biggest stories of the day every morning. Get more at 680thefan.com or subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google, or wherever you get your favorite shows.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey sandwich lovers, today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open, Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.